We are thrilled to have you join us today to worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. My dad, Pastor Salem, urged those around him to open their hearts to Jesus, to put their faith in him, and to be a part of his kingdom. Now let's listen to Dad share his message, Seven Complaints of God.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're so glad that you opened the doors for us and let us into your home or your car or your tractor or wherever you might be. And we're just so glad that all over the world we can worship the Lord together. We're all over the world. We're gathering at Jesus' feet. And I got a sermon today that I know you're going to like. It's called The Seven Complaints of God. And it's the Old Testament, and where God tells Malachi to speak to the children of Israel. And I just think you're probably going to like it. But before that, we want to read some of the letters. Thank you all for writing, and so I'd like to have you listen to some of the folks. So here's one from Lamberton, Minnesota. It says, many thanks for your Spirit-filled ministry. We love it every Sunday and pray many souls for eternity and redeem the time, as said in Ephesians 5:16. And then this is what they say. Our family circle is 40 redeemed souls, one with Jesus, 30 years ago, but we'll meet this dear baby at Jesus' feet. Prayerfully yours. And so here's some folks, and they have the people that know the Lord, the family knows the Lord, and this one little baby's gone on and at Jesus' feet. But you know, I think that in heaven now we'll not have babies, because in heaven everything is perfect. And a baby isn't perfect until they come to maturity. And so I think that all of the babies that die will be in a mature people. And this is a wonderful thought, that all of the millions, millions, millions of little babies in the United States of America that have been aborted, all of those little babies are taken by Jesus, taken by God, and they are given place in heaven, and we're going to see them. Jesus said, as he took little children, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, all the little children, all the little babies, all the little aborted babies are with Jesus, and we'll see them someday. Oh, let's see. This is Adair, Iowa. I'm a sinner, a poor, broken, lonely sinner. I have several medical conditions, but anxiety-ridden loneliness is the worst. I have asked Jesus to forgive me and come into my heart and make me feel better. Would you send me any literature on overcoming loneliness and anxiety? Thank you. And yes, we've sent literature. And I'm going to tell you what you do. When you accept Jesus, you may have feelings and you may not have feelings. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord and I didn't feel anything. I just prayed and accepted Jesus. And that happened so many times. But one thing you will get, and that I got it, and that is I had a peace that my sins were gone. My sins were washed away. And so you just believe that. You just take God at his word. Don't doubt him and just lean on him. And as you go along, he'll become more real and your faith will become stronger and you'll win the day. Here's Tampa, Florida. I feel so rich to have all my new songs, stacks of them now, and they stay on my desk. They're my study, which keeps my eyes on our Lord and his work. Praying for Christian Worship Hour to reach many people who need the precious message that Jesus has given us the privilege to hear. Now at 90, I long to see God's hand in each day. It's precious to have your songs. They're a main part of my study of God's word. Thank you for such clean teaching of God's word. And so the one she's talking about, I think this is a gentleman. I don't remember for sure. Doesn't matter. But we have what we call the new song. And that's a little publication we put out, and we mail out every month. And this month, the month of August, we're looking at pictures of the Bible, like the Bible's we're likened to a hammer. It's likened to a sword, likens to a mirror, likens to a balm. And so it's just a wonderful little study. And some people use it for Sunday school classes, and some use it in retirement homes, and some have it for service. and it's free, and you just need to write in. And you get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address at the close of the service. And you just put new song, or just put song. We'll know what it means. One more letter I want to share with you, and that's from Hyde Park, New York. I was just watching your program and was really touched by the Holy Spirit while you are praying and preaching. I feel blessed to be able to pray for the unsaved on all of your programs. I don't want anyone left behind. I want all of us to meet Jesus at the rapture. We are so blessed to have a loving Savior like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' love. And so here she talks about, she says, I pray for your services all the time. And while I'm preaching, she's praying. And you know, if we could have millions praying, and what do you pray? You pray that God will be glorified. You pray that souls will be saved. People will come to Jesus. And you pray that other Christians maybe that are struggling, and that they'll be strengthened and helped. And so we just need to pray for those people. And the rapture simply means when Jesus comes for his people, for the church. And Paul tells us in Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's all the Christians in the world. Their bodies are going to be raised up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. And then later on, the unsaved, those who have rejected Jesus, they'll be raised from the grave, and they'll have to answer for their sins. So praise the Lord, we have such a wonderful Savior. But let's look at our sermon for today, the seven complaints of God. And he calls on a prophet Malachi. And that's what God does. When he has a message, he calls on a pastor. He calls on a prophet. And he has them bring that message from God to people. And with Malachi, we don't know a single thing about him, except God called him, and his name means messenger. And so that's what it is. He's going to preach and teach the people of God, the Israel. And the underlying problem throughout Malachi is that God is complaining to Israel of laxity and lukewarmness of God's people. So let's look at it. First of all, he says, his first complaint is, they do not honor God. That was Malachi 1, verses 6 and 7. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And so he's complaining. God is complaining to Israel. And maybe some of these things, I shouldn't say maybe, these things apply to us today in the 21st century, all over the world. He has a complaint with the world. And this is what he says. You call me father, but you don't give me any honor. You call me master, but you don't fear me. You don't obey me. He says they bring polluted bread. And then the people say, wherein we don't bring polluted bread. That is, we don't bring moldy bread to the altar. But what it is that the bread is polluted by the hands of them that placed it there. These men called God the Father, and they called him Master, only word and deed, in creed. They didn't honor him and didn't fear him. And God is saying, you are polluted as a person because you're sinning against God. And because you sin against God, what you bring is going to be contaminated and polluted. And that's why he says all of our works like filthy rags. We have to have the wonderful grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to be genuine in order to make a genuine offering to our wonderful God. The first complaint is the people didn't honor him. And then the next complaint that God gives, they were putting God second. In verse 8, which was Micah chapter 1, verse 8. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? And would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. These men were offering on the altar. They were offering the blind and the lame and the sick. and the crippled. And the Mosaic teaching was the lamb placed upon the altar should be without spot or blemish, the finest of the flock. And God wants to be first. He wants to be first in our life, and he wants to be first in everything we do. And when we offer offerings to him, they ought to be the first thing we do. And when we give our tithe, we don't wait till the end of the month and scrape it up. We give him, when we get that paycheck or that income, the first 10% right off of the top. The first and the best goes to the dear Lord in heaven. That's exactly what he's talking about. And so they give him offerings. Oh, yes, they give him offerings, all right. But they're crippled and offered, and they're blind and something about to die, and they're sickly and all the rest and skinny and run down. And that's what they're bringing God. And then God says, he says, offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with this or accept thy person? So he holds back the best for himself, and he give God the cripples. You see it all the time. Men love themselves more than they love God. They give their little pennies to the Lord, but they ought to be giving their tithe to the Lord. And so the Lord is saying, he says, why does God complain? Because you don't put him first. And God wants us to have him first in our life, first and foremost in all that we do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and your neighbor is yourself. God wants to be first, and these people are putting him second. And some people not only give him second, they don't even give him anything. And so, but he's talking to his people. God's talking to his people, the people of Israel. He's talking to the Christians. I want to be first in your life. They are putting him second. And then the third reason, the complaint that God had, they were giving because they wanted God to give back to them. In verse 10, it says, the first chapter in verse 10, who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle on the altar for naught. This is terrible. These people are opening the doors of the tabernacle and later on the doors of the temple. They were kindling fires and they were for the altar, and they were opening the doors and closing the doors, and they were doing it not because they loved God and not because they wanted to serve God. They were doing it because they wanted to get something back from God. They wanted God to bless them for what they did. And I'm going to tell you, God does bless us. But when we have that motive or that attitude that we're going to give so what we can get like a slot machine, we're going to put some money in so we can get more money back, it's totally wrong. We give because we love the Lord Jesus, not because of what he could do for us. And so his complaint is, they were serving God for what they could get from God. The fourth thing that God says, they were getting tired of worship. He said, ye also said, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it. That is, they were turning up their noses and they disdained true worship. This always happens. When a man is seeking for a reward as a basis for his labors, he will soon get tired of the business and he'll cry out, what a weariness. He won't have any heart in the worship at all. He's thinking of material things. He's thinking of what he can get and what God can do for him. And so if the person is seeking the kingdom of God for its own sake, he will never complain of fatigue. If we're serving God because we love him, we'll never get weary and never get tired of serving him. And I think of the great deal today. People don't want solid preaching of the Word of God. They want worship that appeals to the sensual, the vestments and the incense and the candles and all of the rest. They want sermons that are filled with froth, that with no substance at all. They don't want sermons on thou shalt or thou shalt not. They don't want that kind of preaching. They want to talk about God's love, but they don't want to talk about God's judgment. They want you to preach about God's heaven, but they don't want you to mention God's hell. They don't bring in sound doctrine, and they give the ideas of men. And it means we're not interested in the kingdom of God. We're simply interested in ourselves and what we can do and how we can live and get along. That's a complaint of God against the people of that day. They didn't have their heart in the worship of God. They were glad when the sermon was over and they could go out to dinner. They were glad when that service was over and praying every day that the sermon won't be too long. And they don't want anything that'll cross them up or put them on the spot. And maybe when we preach the word of God, we preach the God for, it's for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and was given to people to comfort to people and also to straighten people out and to talk the right way. And it's for me, the preacher, just as much as it is for anybody else. When I started preaching 73 years ago, an old doctor in town came to me and he said, young man, you're starting out in the ministry and I suggest to you that you preach and you preach and you comfort the afflicted and you afflict the comfortable. And they don't like it. And these people didn't like it. So God's fourth complaint was they were tired of worship and they wanted something different. And then he goes on, and the fifth thing, they were making light of sin. Chapter 2 and verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? The people are saying, the Lord is pleased with evil. They are saying, God doesn't care about justice. They're saying, they're making light of sin. They tone it down, and so they make light of sin. They make it as something that's unsightly or something to be excused, and it isn't really sin. It's just you made a bad decision, and God will wink at that, and it doesn't matter if you fall into sin. God is a God of love, and he won't judge you. You can't tell me that a God of love would put anybody into hell, and I want to correct that right this minute. God doesn't put anybody in hell. People put themselves in hell because they reject Jesus Christ. And mark that down and don't forget it. God is a God of love, but he's a God of justice. And God is saying here, you're not looking at the full picture. You're making light of sin. And this, because of that, God says you're glossing it all over. And when we abandon God's word, and when we don't preach from the Bible, and when we don't get into the word of God, that's what happens. We have people do not want to hear about judgment. They want to hear only about love. And when we talk of love like that, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is love. But when we reject him and we come into that other world, after death, the judgment, and there's going to be judgment. And I'm going to tell you, until people have a clear vision of sin and really see what real sin is and how that not one speck of sin will come into the kingdom of God, not one speck of sin will it be in heaven. And it is impossible for us to be sinless and spotless because we're poor old, we got that old nature, and so we need Jesus. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, takes it all away. And so we need to say, we need to call sin what it is. Sin is sin, and it damns the soul. And that soul that dies with sin is going to be in the fires of hell just as sure as the day is long. And when you come into the judgment, you can never say that I at least didn't tell you. And I shared with you exactly what God's word teaches. They made light of sin. And that's what we're doing today, and we need to turn from that and see it as it is. It's a damning thing that'll damn the soul. And then the sixth thing, they had robbed God by not giving tithes and offerings. Listen to what God says in Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse because you robbed me, even this whole nation. And then God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God tells the people, you have robbed God, and you've done it by withholding the tithes and offerings. Notice a tithe is 10%. That was God's bare bones minimum. And we are to give that 10% to the Lord. And when I hear people say, well, that's Old Testament, that's under the law, and that doesn't apply today. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus said in the New Testament, under grace, we're to give a tithe. And it's easy to remember. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And this is what it says. Jesus says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Boy, did he tell them, you think I'm fierce on my preaching. Listen to him. He says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And then he says, these ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. In other words, he says, you tithe all the mint and all of the rest of it. You're right down to the leaves of the little plants. He gives the leaves. He says, you, that's the right thing to do, but you should also be strong in mercy, in judgment, in faith. And they weren't. They were cheating the people. And he says, because of that, you're robbing God. As a matter of fact, God only not only gives a 10%, but when St. Paul comes on the picture and God speaks through him, and he says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1, he says, the first day of the week, let us bring as God prospers him. And so if we make a lot of money, we ought to give a lot of money. And if we're bare bones and we don't have it, we should give 10%. Try every to give 10%. My mother, we were in the Depression. We couldn't buy a postage stamp. And when our only income was money that we got from selling cream at the creamery, and we would take that in on Saturday, and the man would give her a check, and my mother would figure from the top, 10% for the Lord. And then we went to the Red Owl store, and the rest of it was bought for groceries, and then we went home for the week. And that 10%, but if God has abundantly blessed us, we ought to give more, like R.G. Letourneau. Look at this. R.G. Letourneau got to the place where he had so much money that he gave 90% and he kept 10%. And then somebody always says, well, yeah, I know, but if I had money like R.G. Letourneau, I'd give 90% too. And I said, well, do you give 10% now? Well, no. Well, then you wouldn't even, you had to, if you owned all of creation, you wouldn't do it. You have to give the Lord and put him first. And that's what God is saying. Now, God says the last thing is they were misrepresenting God. They were saying, they were like hypocrites. The man that says, I hate God, that doesn't bother us. But the man that goes and prays in church and then goes out and cheats all week, that's the man. That's the man. And that's misrepresenting God. That's not the Christian life. And he pretends he's a Christian and he isn't a Christian. And he's a judgment of God is upon him. And so God, Malachi preaches this. And then what happened? What happened? Into the third chapter in the 16th verse. This is what happened. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. There are always those who fear the Lord. And every time I preach, I can put it down. I can write it down. Three things. One of three things is going to happen. The first thing is some are going to say, he's full of wind, and I don't believe a bit of it, and I'm never listening to him again. They go off. And then there's a second group, and they said, we'll think about it. And that's the devil working with him. He'll never tell you to say no. He'll say, just think about it. Put it off. And then there's that third group, and they fear the Lord, and they come to the Lord. And that's what I'm praying is happening right now. Yeah, that you're turning to the Lord. You're coming to Jesus. And you say, I want to come to Jesus. But I don't know how. I've never prayed in my life. I don't know what words to say. And I don't know how to say it. And this is what you do. You just talk to God. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. and then I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you said that, if you made that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to the Christian Worship Hour, the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write, and we'll send you the new song if you'd like that. I know you'll like it. And there are, we'll say, if you're accepting Jesus, or if you're coming back, you drifted away and you're coming back, we'll send you literature anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, we'll send it. And something else, we need to have your help. Somebody has to pay the bills. And we surely can't do it by ourselves. We're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation or anything else. We're underwritten by the people of God, wherever they are scattered all over the world. And what you need to do is ask God, dear God, is this kind of a service that I should support? Do you want me to invest in this? Do you want me to put money into this? And you pray, and if he says yes, you say, how much? And then you give as God directs, and we'll be all right. Now, all of you again, those of you on shortwave radio, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's some magic. If you want to give over the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send gifts from all over the world and to carry on our work. We've got to have your help. And now we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Malaysia today. So, Heavenly Father, we pray, first of all, that multitudes will come to you. Millions will come to you today and pray that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Jesus' sake. And then we pray for the children that they'll also pray that prayer. We pray for the young people, Lord, that have so many temptations and trials. Bless them. We pray for those in their homes that can't get out and they're shut-ins and they're lonely, and help them to know that you're with them. What a wonderful God you are. And we love you so much. And we pray that all of these things will go to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So now until next week, be sure you get us on there. The Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Need to hear from you. And we need your prayers. You pray for us and all around the world. And someday we'll all get together in heaven and we'll gather around the throne of grace and we'll worship the Lamb that was slain and shed his blood for the sins of the world. And those sins, Jesus says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. Bless you all. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God loves you. See you next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.